The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Braun, I'm sitting here watching the, you know, Mavs, right? And they got no Luka, and then you think that they're going to be terrible, right? And I've seen that act, but they covered the other night with the 8 that I got. And tonight they're in this game with Phoenix. They're down 5. I still think, you know, they're going to lose this game. But I was just looking at them, and I'm sitting there watching them play, and you know, they got like Finney Smith, Hardaway Powell, Porzingis, and Brunson are their starters. Bullock off the bench, Brown, Cauley-Stein, Burke, Ntilikina, all getting burned. And I mean, the one guy I don't have a problem with in terms of playing guard is Brunson. I don't think he's the worst player I've ever seen. I think he's tough. I really do. And Tim Hardaway is so on and off like a faucet. I mean, you never know what you're going to get with this guy. They gave him all this money. He's made so much money in the NBA, I can't even tell you. And he averages 15 a game, 3 boards, 2 dimes. And, you know, tonight he's got 5. There's a long way to go, but he's played 15 minutes. He's 2 of 9 from the floor, 1 of 5 from 3. I mean, it's just terrible. And then you look at the Suns, who are looking for 11 in a row, and your boy CP3's got 10, 3, and 4. Bridges has 17. Nobody else is doing jack, to be honest with you. I still am confused. I guess maybe this is why. Ayton in 15 minutes has 2 points. The guy's a 7-footer, and he's got 2 points. Maybe that's why they won't give him a new contract. They don't believe in him. They just don't think he's good. I think he's good. I think the guy can play. And he's averaging 15, 11 boards, and a dime, a double-double every night, 7-footer. Mavia, you can't tell me they can't work with that. He's young. He's athletic. He's 7 foot, and he averages a double-double. And they won't give him a contract.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. I mean, I think that you have a perfect inside-out game with him and Booker. You know, in order to stretch it out, you have Booker on the outside, and then you pound it into him a couple times. He's going to draw a double team because most guys, you know, most teams don't have that big body, that badass down low anymore outside of what? Like him, Joker, and B. There's not that many of those type of guys anymore. So inevitably, guys are going to have to, you know, double team to get the ball out of his hands because one defender can't take him, and they're going to get in foul trouble. And that leaves things open for these other guys, for Bridges, for these other guys to get things done. So, I mean, I think it should be a 1-2 punch with them. I know Chris Paul was great last year, but we've seen this year he's getting older. Again, you know, well, not older, he's old, but now
he leads the league in assists. He leads the NBA in assists. That's all that matters. That's the whole game.
What I'm saying is he can't be the second scorer. So it should be him demanding the ball more inside. You know, Booker is number one, him is number two, you know, Bridges number three, and then you have Chris Paul facilitating all those guys. He's got to be more, you know, demanding inside, because sometimes it seems like he's passive unless the other guys, you know, run the game instead of trying to demand it more.
Fair enough, but just so we're clear, Chris Paul's job is to get everyone the rock. That's his only job. That's his job. Run the offense, pass the ball. That's what he does. And if he scores 10 or 12 or 15 or 20, it doesn't matter, because that's not what he's there for. He's there to drop dimes, and he's the best in the league at it, third all time. He's there to drop dimes. That's it. That's his job. And he's been incredible in Phoenix. I think Chris Paul has been a freak on this team. CP3 goes off every night. I did want to look at the we welcome our radio affiliates to the show on a pain-free Friday for Law and Avenge. That Warriors win tonight, 105-102 over the Pistons. Wiggins, Toscano Anderson, Looney, Poole, and Payton, along with the bench, bottom line. The simple fact is Poole had 32 points, and he hit four threes. He went 32-7-2, and that's why they won. They had no Iggy, no Green, no Curry, and they still won 105-102, and they covered. This guy Poole has been absolutely unbelievable. Jordan Poole for the Warriors this year, averaging 16.5, 2.5 boards, 3.5 dimes, and he just lit it up tonight for them and took over. He played like he was Curry tonight with a 32 spot. That is huge. Absolutely huge. How about this bet I hit tonight, Mafia? I had the Bucks to win, and I had the Thunder plus 13. They lose by 7 and cover the number. That's just fantastic. And then the one that surprised me tonight was the Pelicans upset the Clippers 94-81. I got roasted on that. I really did, so I can't believe that they won that game. Hornets 121-118 over the Pacers. I like keeping an eye on the Hornets all the time to see what Ball did. 32, 11, and 8 dimes tonight for LaMelo Ball. He is a freak. Gordon Hayward had 25 as Pharrell on the bench.
You're listening to Sports Grid,
the home of the winning edge,
carrying on the fine tradition of sports gaming from all the way back to ancient Rome.
But they never had a mobile app.
So count your blessings, Sporto.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
All right, Pharrell on the Bench. So, Mafia, you know this Peng Shui situation with the tennis chick that's been allegedly or not missing? She's been, vanished. And then China said, the foreign ministry said that they're not aware of the situation, and that they have no idea what anyone's talking about. Meanwhile, the story behind it goes is that she, this Peng Shui, she accused one of the Chinese foreign ministers of sexually assaulting her. And then, I mean, unless I'm crazy, right, she disappeared. And they put out pictures today of her playing with her cat, but they are not. No one's believing that she's alive or that she's safe. They showed these pictures that are pathetic of her, like in her apartment or something with her cat. And what people want to see is they want to see this woman actually, you know, alive and moving and breathing and in public. And since she accused the foreign minister of sexual assault, no one has seen that ever. And then is it not creepy that they say allegedly that they have no idea what anyone's talking about? How creepy is that, Mafia? Like that they won't acknowledge that they even know anything about it and that she's fine. We don't even know who what you're talking about. This the whole thing's not true. Meanwhile, no one's seen her in weeks and they won't show her in public. Do you think that she accused this foreign minister of sexual assault and that they killed her?
It wouldn't surprise me at all if that's the case. I mean, this is a regime that's well-documented human rights violations of its people, of, you know, anyone who dissents, anybody who has different religious beliefs that they've rounded up and put into, you know, work camps and tried to brainwash into believing their way. It's something that people know happens constantly and gets overlooked because of, you know, the economic power they are and the military power sometimes. And it's just ridiculous. It's very sad. Hopefully they do find her. Hopefully this is, you know, misunderstanding. But honestly, I just don't see it being that way. I see it being, you know, just another situation where someone who goes against someone high power there, we don't hear from again.
Do you, you know, they have allegedly, I did a story on Coast to Coast that they've allegedly threatened that they're going to nuke us soon, that they're going to fire nuclear weapons at America. The Chinese, that they're planning on attacking us. Do you believe that?
Again, it wouldn't surprise me, but isn't that like the bookie killing the guy, you know, who owes them money? Like, we owe them so much money. You're going to kill the person that owes you that money? You're never going to get that then. That's wiped out if we're wiped out, isn't it?
I just don't know what to think. Are we supposed to hate these people? What do you mean, these people? Are we supposed to hate them, Mafia? Is that the deal? Is that the American way? Is that we have to have enemies, so we might as well hate China and Russia?
Well, I think that's what people jump to, but you're not supposed to, you know, I don't think it's hating the people. The people aren't the one in charge. The people aren't agreeing with so many of the things that are going on in their own country. They just have no power to do anything about it.
So it's the governments that we should hate.
Probably, yeah. I don't know. They hate strong, but yeah, when they do the things that these governments have done, should definitely do something about it. Whether it's, you know, condemning them, whether it's trying to get other people to step up to them too. I don't know what the solution is. I don't know if there even is one.
You think the Warriors and Suns will meet in the Western Conference Final because the Lakers suck so bad?
Yes, well, it won't be the Lakers. I think that is getting more and more clear. I know, you know, we could say all the time about, oh, well, it doesn't matter the regular season. They only care about the playoffs. But it's not about how they're playing, really. It's about the health for me. You know, AD banged up again, as always, you know, early in the season. LeBron James hurt already in this season. You know, if those guys can't stay healthy, that team cannot win. Russell Westbrook cannot do it by himself, especially when he's playing this bad. So right now the Warriors and the Suns are the obvious choice when you have, you know, teams like the Jazz behind them who always choke, the Nuggets who always choke in the playoffs, the Clippers who, you know, talking about disappearing people. Anybody seen Kawhi, you know, Leonard lately?
Yeah, he wasn't going to play for most of the season anyway, so he's been out. And when they get him back, they're going to be lethal. You know, the Bulls are up 110-105 in Denver right now. I think they're legit, man. I bet on the Bulls to win outright tonight and got 3.5. I'm going to cover that bet. I'm going to win that bet outright and getting the 3.5. With that Suns game, they're up 4 at the half, 55-51. And then I took the Raptors in Sacramento tonight, and I was getting 4, and I'm up 63-45 at the half. I mean, they're up 18 at the half. I mean, that game's over. I have to ask you, though, does it not bother you at all that they put the Lakers on national television every night? Like, it's just, it is such BS to me. It is so fixed and so ridiculous and so, it's so cheesy that all they do, it's ESPN and TNT, and they just don't stop shoving the Lakers down our throats. And meanwhile, they can't get out of their own way. They're not worth watching.
Yeah, they have a real, you know, affinity for the you know, legendary organizations, if you will. You know, the ones that have, you know, the titles and the big championships and the big names, and they put those up way more than everybody else. I mean, especially tonight, Lakers-Celtics, they pumped that rivalry up like as if they have met in the finals every year since Magic and Bird came into the league. Like, it's been a long time. They obviously played, you know, about a decade ago in the NBA Finals, but it's not like this team, these two teams battle it out every year to act like these guys are such heated rivals. I mean, I really think that's a joke sometimes, the way they just drudge that up all the time. But they have their favorites on either coast, and on the West Coast, I mean, if you're going to have a late-night game for the doubleheaders all the time, that's their favorite option. Who else are you going to put up there? The Blazers, the Clippers. Now, you know, the Suns are great, and they're fun to watch, and they're an awesome team, but they still don't love them yet. And until they, you know, have that same love affair for them, they're not going to put them up in all these national TV games all the time, which they should, but they still, you know, think of them as, the Suns are a joke. They've been a, you know, doorstep for how many years? They just kind of have forgotten about how good they were last year in the finals, right?
Yeah, I think they're worth watching, though, every
Absolutely.
Night. I want to watch the best teams every night. And, in fact, I wouldn't have minded watching that. I think the game on now is good with the Suns and Mavs. I could have watched the Bulls and Nuggets. I wouldn't have thought that the Bucks Thunder would have been a good game, even though I bet on the Thunder at 13 and they covered. I wouldn't have thought that the Magic and Nets would have been a good game, but I watched that game and that was way better than the, I mean, it was a 2-point game. It was a tie game. They had 5-10 lead changes. The Magic gave the Nets fits tonight and lost by 2, and they were covering that 12.5 easy. I wouldn't have mind watching the Warriors and Pistons even without Steph Curry. The Warriors are fun to watch, and they got it done and covered the 2. Originally, Mafia, we had it at 7.5 on ForAllOnTheBench.com, but that number went to 2 because of those guys being canceled out of that game. So it was a 2-point spread when they played it. The Hornets were laying 2.5. They covered. The Lakers got whacked in Boston. I mean, Tatum went off. Smart went off. And the Lakers laid down like little puppies and took a nap. As usual, the Lakers get their ass beat. And everybody's talking about LeBron James. I don't care what he did tonight. He got his ass beat. And he played crappy defense all night long. And Tatum took him to the woodshed. And that's all there is to it. Joe Lisi, go over to 2, is next to talk about all the college football games on Saturday. We'll do that with Joe coming up on the bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger up.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
So, Pharrell on the bench, Dana Holgorsen is the coach at Houston. He's snapping right now on the sideline. The guy is having a conniption over these flags they keep calling on his team. Meanwhile, he's up 18 points in the third quarter, 21-3 Cougs. They're 9-1, and they have the ball, blah, blah, blah. They called him for back-to-back holdings, and he is just snapping on the refs, and they just got a first down. So after all of his griping and complaining and cussing and slamming headsets on the ground, I mean, you should have seen this guy having a conniption. I mean, absolutely a conniption. And Joe Lisi, go over to 2's with us on a Friday night to talk college football and get you ready for Saturday with all of his plays. Joe, what do you think of the Cougars at 9-1? They get no love from anybody ever.
Yeah, because of Holgorsen, right? He's not the nicest, or I want to say, in terms of the media perspective, he's not one of the media darlings. And I have to admit, you know, I hated his guts up until this year. You know, that week one matchup where he had a 21-7 halftime lead against Texas Tech. They lost that ball game. They haven't lost since, though, Scott. So they're playing very well. One of the most consistent teams in the conference, if not college football. And Clayton Tune is actually turning out to be a quarterback that potentially, in my opinion, could be a late-round draft pick in the NFL draft in late May 2022.
Yeah, he just got robbed on a pick. A ball got deflected off a helmet, popped in the air, and Memphis picked him off and went the other way. But Memphis has a ball, but they've done nothing with it all night. They're down 21-3 in this game here in the third. So we'll see if Memphis can do anything with it. I was laying 9.5 in that game. Did you have any action, Joe, on any of these Friday night games tonight? I had Southern Miss in 16.5. I had Houston laying. I had Washington State laying. I had Nevada -2. That ended up getting points, Nevada, by the time they kicked it off, right? I think Nevada was getting points. And then later I have San Diego State laying 11. Did you have any action on any of these games tonight?
The only one I have real action on is Memphis plus the 8.5 pre-kick. I was out earlier and got back for the second quarter. I've been watching the games now. I mean, Memphis, you know, has played well against Houston over the last five meetings. They won five straight. Got this victory last year with Brady White. These games seem to go down to the wire. So, you know, sitting at 8.5, I mean, obviously losing right now. We'll see if they can pick it up. But again, you know, the inconsistency of the quarterback position with Hennigan being a true freshman, that's why Memphis isn't as elite as they were over years past. They had some transfers that stepped in, like Riley Ferguson and Brady White in recent years. Now with a true freshman, that's why you're seeing a little bit of a drop off in terms of the offensive production.
All right, so tomorrow, do you have any thoughts on tonight's San Diego State game in Vegas that it starts at around now?
Yeah, I like San Diego State tonight. I just think they're too physical entering the ball game. And you know, the total, 40.5, Scott, leans to the under. I know that they've played some overs in recent weeks, but if they play their game on the road in Las Vegas, I think they're going to dominate this game. I think it's a one-sided affair, even though UNLV has played much better over the last month of the season. I could see this in the area of being like 24 or 27-7 in favor of the Aztecs on the road.
Fair enough. All right, let's look at Saturday, tomorrow's games, Joe, and go through them. Let's start with Georgia Tech and Notre Dame. The Irish laying 17.5. Notre Dame 9-1 playing at Notre Dame Stadium.
Notre Dame wins. Carver hates me. I took G-Tech plus 16.5 and plus 17.5. I think they make it a game. It's their bowl game, mobile quarterback with Jeff Sims. They covered last year in Atlanta. They tend to match up well and have been scoring points offensively, 30 points back-to-back against Miami and BC. I took G-Tech in this ballgame.
Charleston Southern and Georgia. That game should be canceled.
True. No, I have no desire to watch that game, but I can only look to Georgia in that matchup. That's a game where Georgia looks to get second, third teamers in terms of depth. Again, I see them running at will on Charleston Southern, but we'll see how it plays out. Can only look to Georgia in that side.
That is such a ridiculous game. That shouldn't even be allowed. That should be illegal. I mean, that they do this crap with Alabama playing the Citadel and stuff like this, it should be absolutely forbidden. Michigan State and Ohio State at the Shoe tomorrow at noon. They're going to drop this thing at lunchtime. It's no joke. Purdue went in there and got their ass beat. What happens to Michigan State with a 19 spot?
Yeah, I would love to take the points, but I can only take Ohio State in the side. I haven't played the game up until this point. Don't really like it because it is such a contrast. And Ohio State's won five straight by 26 points per game. The only way Michigan State could cover is if they play the exact same game that Oregon played. I just don't know if they have the defense to do it. Lean to Ohio State in that ballgame.
So what do you think of the deal that they gave Mel Tucker? Did he sign that? He's staying there?
It's not finalized yet. It's reported. I'm assuming that if they play well, no matter what, he'll ink that deal because I believe they're afraid he could potentially jump to LSU. So I think that's why they were a little bit proactive in terms of that that report this week.
Do you think he's got a better job where he is?
No, well, yes and no. I think the overall expectation at Michigan State won't be as high as LSU, so you can ride it out. the way D'Antonio did after getting to the college football playoff. He's not going to have the media perspective challenging him if Alabama still has continued success. So I think the long haul, the better job in terms of the less stress is Michigan State. The better talent and the better potential to potentially win a national championship is with LSU. So take your poison there.
And the better place to get fired is LSU.
True. Right. You could get fired in a year there. So, I mean, it's boom or bust. You know, it's the SEC. So that's why I say if you're looking to ride it out and collect the paychecks, the less straight, you could probably get 3-4 years down the road, 8 years, 95 mil with Michigan State before the rumblings start, depending upon how successful Michigan and Ohio State are. And at the end of the day, LSU, you could have two mediocre seasons and be out of a job.
All right, so Wake Forest is at Clemson in Death Valley, and Clemson's laying 4.
Yeah, you want to hear this. They're 45-1 straight up since 2015. They've won 12 straight against Wake, the last 4 by 39.2 points per game. I can only look to Clemson. Again, the numbers are so staggering, I can't bet against that. So I can only lean to Clemson. But this is going to be an in-game bet for me when I'm covering it, because you're going to know in the first quarter whether Clemson can run on the front 7 and whether Wake has success against the defense over the top. Even though Justin Ross isn't there, I still think Clemson's offense can move the football on the Wake D. And to me, that's the ball game right there.
Iowa State is in Norman against the Sooners, who are 9-1, laying 3.5.
I took a stand. I wasn't big on this game at the start. I'm on Oklahoma now. I thought about it. I had deductive reasoning with Carver. When are you ever going to get Oklahoma at home laying only 3.5 in the Big 12? When's that going to happen? You got to tell me when that's happened over the last decade, 5 to 8 years. I don't think it has. So you're getting a significant price reduction just from the value. And then second, you have a team in Iowa State that can't win on the road. They lost to Baylor, lost to West Virginia, lost to Texas Tech, all outright as a favorite. I know they match up well against Oklahoma, but give me Oklahoma in a bounce back spot. Laying 3.5, I think they win this ball game by double digits.
I'm with you. Prairie View is playing A&M. Believe it or not, Prairie View 7-2. A&M 7-3. Could Prairie View cover the big fat number in College Station?
Yes, because they've had a tendency to do that in recent years. Texas A&M, just go back. I mean, they were on the number against Kent State. UTSA in recent years, when Miles Garrett was there, they struggled. They just tend to play down to non-conference opponents. So, yes, I could see them not covering this number. Plus the fact that they lost to Ole Miss, nothing to play for. Give me Prairie View plus the points.
So we'll come back and do the rest of the top 25 games. That Houston game is 21-3 still. Memphis still has the ball. Washington State is absolutely putting it on Arizona, 37-7. Cougs up in Pullman. I said today on C2C that was going to get ugly tonight. Bet on the Cougs. They're going to blow out Arizona. Everybody got high on Arizona because they played a good game. They suck. Air Force is beating the crap out of Nevada in Reno, 24-10 right now with a minute left in the third. And Southern Miss upset Louisiana Tech, 35-19. I covered that 16 and a hook with the Southern Miss getting a big fat number. San Diego State UNLV getting set to go in Vegas. And we'll come back with Joe and hit the remaining top 25 games. We'll start it off with the Mississippi State game. They play a pansy ass as well in Tennessee State. But I think the rest of the games, there's still a couple other ones playing candy sugar games. I mean, it is unbelievable. It's candy sugar weekend in college football. It's Pharrell on a bench.
It's a jungle out there.
So many possibilities, prospects, and probabilities. It's easy to become overwhelmed.
That's where we come in.
Relax. We're your trusted source for expert information on sports gaming strategies and information. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
All right, for all on the bench, we're talking to Joe Lisi, Gopher the Two. You can check him out on Sports Grid every day on Sports Grid Radio and Football Full Circle, pro, college, does it all. And is always on the bench every week doing his college football plays for Saturday. All right, Joe, it is, Candy Sugar Weekend with Tennessee State playing Mississippi State. We've already gone through Prairie View A&M, and we've already gone through Charleston Southern in Georgia, the Candy Sugar schedule. And now we go to Mississippi State and Mike Leach dipping into the candy sugar. He wants a little candy sugar this weekend playing Tennessee State. So the Bulldogs are going to beat the crap out of them.
Yes. I mean, come on. You're talking about one of the hottest offenses in college football right now. The way they came from behind, 25-point deficit with Will Rogers, back-to-back 400-yard games. I'm not getting in front of that train. I think they steamroll this game later today, later in the morning, in at 12
what
o'clock.
About,
I think they absolutely boat raced them. What?
Well, obviously. So last week I was in Pittsburgh, right, watching this game. And I bet on Mississippi State against Auburn. And I was sitting there in a bar having a burger and minding my own business watching that Michigan-Penn State game. And the Mississippi State game was right next to it. And I was going crazy because I had Mississippi State in the points. And they scored 25 straight points in that second half and absolutely slept with Auburn's cheerleaders and all their girlfriends on the football team. I mean, that was unbelievable, that performance Rogers put on.
Yeah, let me tell you, I was sitting on a teaser with Mississippi State plus 12, and I was panicking, doing in-game live, going, how could they be down and out, down 28-3? And then I took them again, believe it or not, Scott, plus 16.5 in-game. At almost halftime when they trailed 28-10. So that was a gutty, come-from-behind win. They never quit. They have one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the SEC in Will Rogers. So they're playing well, and they're trending with that game with Lane Kiffin in terms of the Egg Bowl. So Mike Leach, fantastic job in year number two.
So Illinois and Iowa, Kinnick in Iowa City, Iowa laying 12.5.
I can only look to Iowa. Both teams are similar. Iowa does it better, has better talent. We know Illinois is going to run the football. That goes right into the strength of Iowa. Caught a gutty win over Minnesota. I like Padilla the way he came in for Petras. I like the way Iowa's playing right now.
Listen, you can't deny Illinois has had the big upsets this year. I mean, what they did have. To Penn State. And I mean, they show up for games.
They do. I mean, this is, again, a game I haven't dipped my toe in taking a stamp, but if I break it down, it's like, how is Illinois going to challenge them over the top? They really don't have a lot of playmakers on the perimeter. So they're going to – it's mano a mano, right? Offensive line versus defensive line. Can they get it done? They got it done against Penn State. They caught them at a good time. They were banged up. Iowa's pretty healthy, so I think that's the difference, is that Iowa's just built to play them better than maybe Penn State was this year, and I just think it comes down to that. I mean, it could be a close game, but I just think Iowa blows them out. They've owned them in recent years.
All right, so Arkansas and Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Alabama's laying 20 and a hook. You know, Arkansas, I know that they're 7-3 and whatever, but boy, did they seem to fade to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking them. They're one of my better bets. I took them plus the 21.5 and plus 20.5 on FanDuel. I just think they're playing well. I mean, you know, back-to-back road games are scary. They're one-dimensional. They run the football, but they do have a mobile quarterback with KJ Jefferson. And the second fold is that their defense is opportunistic and plays very well. They limit big plays, only giving up around 180 in the back end in terms of the passing game. Again, do they win? No, but covering 20.5 in this type of atmosphere where they're bowl eligible, yeah, I could see it happening. So, and there's a potential look ahead with Auburn in the Iron Bowl for Alabama, so I'll take my chances with Arkansas plus the wood.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it. I just want to look at that for a second because, yeah, I laid it. I laid the 20 and hook. I don't buy it. I don't buy them in Tuscaloosa. Okay. So we'll see. SMU and Cincinnati. Cincinnati's laying 10. I got SMU at 12, Joe.
Yeah, that's a good number. It's down to 11.5. Might even go down to to 10.5 before kick. Who's the offense that Cincinnati's played that's going to challenge them the way SMU has? I mean, that's the biggest thing. I think if you watched that ball game last year, remember when they went on the road to Dylan Gabriel and UCF and they opened up a 17-0 lead on them and then they fought to come from behind, they didn't cover? I think it looks the same way. I think SMU can move the football on them. Obviously, you have to limit turnovers on the road, but I could only look to SMU here. I mean, I think they're playing more consistent than Cincinnati is at this point in the season.
All right, Michigan's in College Park against a 5-5 Maryland team. Wolverines 9-1, laying 15. I think they get it done.
Yeah, I'm going back to Maryland. They screwed me last week, although they covered a teaser of plus 20. But I gotta believe that they make that offense one-dimensional. They can move the football through the air. And the fact that Michigan might be a little vanilla from a game plan perspective, I think Michigan wins. They've won 5 straight in the series, but Maryland fighting for bowl contention does keep it within the number.
You know, I got a problem with that, Joe, that Maryland's not going to move the ball against Michigan. Maryland's not going to do anything against that Michigan defense. I mean, Penn State couldn't do anything with it. Nobody. Look, they blew the game in East Lansing. They blew it. They were up 16 points in the second half. You cannot lose that game. But that defense of theirs is legit.
No, I agree with you. I mean, they got 7 sacks on Sean Clifford last week. So that's the biggest thing. Talia looked like absolute garbage last week in terms of he looked like garbage. He had four intentional grounding penalties last week because he was blitzed. What do you think Jim Harbaugh and the crew are going to do? But the fact that they're playing at home in College Park, I think they absolutely cover. That's the only reason why I'm back in Maryland. They're at home, and the potential look ahead with Michigan against Ohio State. That's the only reason.
Maryland has no home advantage in anything. Their basketball team sucks.
No,
their football team's worse. There was Nebraska and Wisconsin and Camp Randall. Wisconsin laying 9.5. I think they whack Nebraska.
Yeah, I don't love this game, but I would lean to the mobility of Adrian Martinez.
He sucks.
A little more athletic. I know he sucks, but he could still run. That's the only thing. I mean, I would take the points with Nebraska. I don't love this game. We'll see. I mean, Wisconsin's burned me a couple times this year, so I can't back them in this spot. I'll go with Nebraska coming off a bye week. I think that'll benefit them in this spot.
Look, my thing is that Wisconsin has been beating the crap out of everyone they played. Since the Army game, they beat Purdue 30-13, with Iowa 27-7, Rutgers 52-3, Northwestern 35-7. And you know what? Nebraska is no better than Northwestern, Rutgers, and certainly they're not better than Purdue or Iowa. I mean, Wisconsin is playing a crappy team in Camp Randall, and I don't care what anybody says, Scott Frost should have been fired. That team sucks.
I agree.
My onions. That's all there is to it. I watch them play. I can't even believe they gave Ohio State a game. I think it was because the game was in Lincoln. Virginia and Pitt in Pittsburgh at Heinz Field. Pitt laying 14.5.
Yeah, keep an eye on the health for Brennan Armstrong. I think he's definitely going, and if he goes, they keep it within the number. I think they have the passing game to keep it within 14.5. Obviously, if he's not 100%, that's going to matter dramatically, because if he gets hurt in this ball game, they're toast. But I think it's a high-scoring game. Virginia's within the number, and don't be shocked if they pull the upset on the road in Heinz Field.
UAB at Texas San Antonio, UTSA laying 4.5. They're 10-0.
I know. I lean to Bill Clark and UAB here. 7-3 overall. I think they're battle tested. They can run the football. I love what UTSA is doing, but give me the road dog in this ballgame.
I like UTSA laying. BYU and Georgia Southern, BYU laying 20.
Yeah, I would lay it with BYU. Again, too physical in that matchup. They're going to run at will on Georgia Southern in that ballgame.
Syracuse at Raleigh against NC State. The Wolfpack laying 11.5.
Yeah, I lean to NC State. Better defense. Syracuse with Traeger only averaging around 150 passing yards over the last five games, under 50%. To me, I don't like that on the road.
So, believe it or not, Kansas State is favored by one at home in Manhattan against Baylor. I can't even believe that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that everybody's looking for the emotional, the emotional letdown after the win against Baylor. Oklahoma, and I think that's all you're seeing. Both teams, they're similar in the sense they both want to run the football. They have adequate quarterback play, but I lean to Bohannon. I think they're playing very well right now. Dave Aranda has that team dialed in. Their defense is more physical than K-State's defense. They can run the football. That travels well. So I like Baylor catching one in this ballgame.
So do I. You know, Joe, it's simple. Like all these people, a letdown after beating Oklahoma. How about my ass? How about letdown nothing? How about I'm going to go run with that one and go beat someone else's ass and finish out strong? Oregon and Utah in Salt Lake. Utah's laying three. Mafia's all over Utah in this one, Joe.
I know. I believe Carver and I are, well, I know I am. I'm on Oregon. We talked about it today.
Me too.
I just think I said this, Scotty, not that we're going to talk NFL, but, you know, it's like Dallas. You, in order to win on the road, you have to run the football, force turnovers, have an opportunistic defense. That's what Oregon has. They have the senior quarterback in Anthony Brown. That's why I think they strike the upset, too much speed. And not only that, I mean, there's not a player on Utah that really scares me on the perimeter. Who's going to beat them over the top from the passing game? This isn't UCLA. This is Utah. So I think that's where Oregon has a speed advantage as well.
All right, I got 60 seconds. Ole Miss laying 36 to Vandy, and Oklahoma State laying 10 in Lubbock against Texas Tech.
You're going to think I'm nuts. I would take Vandy with the points just because I feel all the money's going to come in on Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss after the win. And I like Oklahoma State, but I'm going to tell you this right now. That game scares me in Lubbock. They're playing with house money. They play them very tough. They lost by five last year. I could see the same type of thing where Oak State wins, but Texas Tech does cover playing Saturday night under the lights in Lubbock. They're already bowl eligible. That's a scary situation.
Yeah, and I agree with you, but I took Oklahoma State, and I also took Ole Miss, and I think Ole Miss is going to put 60 on Vanderbilt. They absolutely hair dryer city. They're hair dryer.
They might put 80 on them.
I mean, I hope they do, and I see your boy Corral announced he's going to the NFL draft, and he's done down in Oxford with all those hillbillies. All right, listen, Joe, great stuff. I hope your date went great yesterday. Did you get any leg?
Oh, Scotty, you're great. Yes, I got some leg. How does that sound?
Oh, that's what I'm talking about, Joe. That made my day. Have a great weekend, Joe. Enjoy the games tomorrow and on Sunday on Pain Day. Always great having you on the bench.
You got it, brother. Love the show.
There he is, Joe Lisi. Go for the two. Check out.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, so the Bulls ended up winning that game 114-108 over Denver. In Denver, great road trip for the Bulls. They mean business. And then going on right now, the Mavs lead the Suns at the start of the fourth, 84-82 Dallas. And the Raptors are just having sex with the Kings in Sacramento, 98-72 with 9 minutes left. They are pelting him. The Lakers got rolled tonight in Boston, 130-108. I don't care what LeBron did. You got rolled. Hornets, 121-118 over the Pacers. LaMelo with a 32 spot. Warriors cover and win in Detroit with none of their stars playing, 105-102. Poole at 32. Nets 115-113 over the Magic. Bucks beat the Thunder, but they didn't cover. I hit that game as well. I mean, I hit everything. Bulls, Thunder, Magic, Warriors, Hornets. I mean, my God. And there you go. Hockey, Avs up 6-0 on the smoke crack up in Seattle. 6-0. Canucks lead the Jets 3-1. As far as college football goes, there's all these games tonight, right, that I've been keeping an eye on. Houston up 21-10 going to the fourth over Memphis. 37-10, Washington State over Arizona. Air Force 24-10 over Nevada with 9 minutes left. And already 6-3 San Diego State on UNLV in Vegas. And Southern Miss upset Louisiana Tech 35-19.